was once said about Steve Jobs that he would make a great president of France.
That's perfect. That is perfect.
Because he was larger than life.
I totally get it.
Ubiquitous, quirky, temperamental, brilliant, pervasive in our lives, our culture,
not just
American.
Can I tell you a little story? He received the Chrysler Design Awards about a decade and a half ago.
Yeah.
I was on the nominating committee for that. And in the presentation of the award, he was the one recipient who had to produce his own video. Didn't show up, but he produced his own video that celebrated his work.
You know, I was struck last night by this comment from journalist Jonathan Kern, who said, "I don't know that I ever felt so bad about the death of someone I didn't know." Steve Jobs had resigned as CEO of Apple in August because of health problems, and then he passed away yesterday at the age of 56. Joining us to remember this morning, Ken Auletta, who writes the Annals of Communications column for The New Yorker magazine, also author of Googled, The End of the World as We Know It. Ken, good morning.
Good morning.
So your thoughts, I mean, on the passing of Steve Jobs, which is, as many have said, is not a big surprise and yet still felt sudden.
It not only felt sudden, but it felt, I mean, you don't get the kind of notice that this death has gotten unless a president has been assassinated. I mean, it's quite extraordinary to pick up even the tabloids that's on the front page today. And so he is someone who loomed large in all of our lives.
Well, Ken, let's try and understand then why that is, why this man who was a software designer and the head of a tech company, why he could have this kind of impact, why people are feeling it this way. I mean, what do you think is going on here?
Well, think about the impact this man had. I mean, if you use a telephone, you know, you have the iPhone. If you use the tablet, which he invented, you have the iPad. If you like buying individual records rather than an entire CD, as the music companies insisted on, you have an iPad and iPod and iTunes. I mean, if you like animated movies, you've got Pixar. If you like the coolest laptop imaginable, you got the Mac Air. I mean, this is a man, if you like the mouse, he invented it, taking it from Xerox PARC. So this is a man who's had an impact on all of our daily lives. He's not just a technologist, but you have little kids, you have 9-year-old kids who can pick up an iPad or an iPhone and intuitively know how to use it without any instructional manuals.
That's amazing. A triumph of design. Ken Auletta, can you remind us of the early biographical details of Steve Jobs, which also set him apart, a story that you wouldn't have expected to turn out this way?
Well, he was adopted. He was an orphan, and he was adopted by working-class people who basically realized at a very young age in San Francisco that this was a genius. And they made their garage available for him to putter around and work on his, the homebrew group. With Steve Wozniak, and they invented basically this box, which became the Mac, the computer, and created Apple in the 70s, and by 1984, it was the rage, and he was this extraordinary figure. He dropped out of he went to Reed College. He dropped out after his freshman year, but then monitored classes because he was interested in design. And then he went off to India, and he smoked pot and probably more than that, as he later acknowledged, and once said that boredom was a very effective thing because it made you more curious about what you're missing. And then, of course, after he decided he was a micromanager, but decided he wasn't capable of being chief executive at Apple. So he brought in people to do that, but ultimately, because he was a micromanager, he was ousted from the company and by John Sculley in the early 90s. And that failure was devastating to him, but yet that failure he used boredom to improve himself. And when he came back to Apple in the mid-90s, he was a different person. And he was the new Steve Jobs.
And he said that time when he'd got fired from Apple was the best thing that had happened to him, and that his time with Next, he called it one of the most creative periods of his life. You know, I want to go back. We're speaking with Ken Auletta, who writes the Annals of Communications column for The New Yorker magazine. Ken, I want to go back to something you were talking about how intuitive his designs were. And this is a comment that he made when he was talking about what set Apple products apart.
One of the things I've always found is You've got to start with the customer experience and work backwards to the technology. You can't start with the technology and try to figure out where you're going to try to sell it. And I've made this mistake probably more than anybody else in this room. And I've got the scar tissue to prove it. And I know that it's the case.
I mean, that in a certain way kind of sums up his brilliance. I mean, like, I am like many, many others in that Apple made it possible for me to understand and use the personal computer. Well, Ken, I want to get to one other ethic that Steve Jobs had. And this is an answer that he gave when someone in a crowd asked him if he thought that Apple was elitist, designed for a wealthier class of customer.
I have to tell you, there's some stuff in our industry that we wouldn't be proud to ship, that we wouldn't be proud to recommend to our family and friends. And we can't do it. We just can't ship junk. So there are thresholds that we can't cross because of who we are.
Ken, does that legacy continue at Apple?
It does. I mean, how long it will continue is a question, but it's certainly a lesson that people who run Apple should take to heart. I mean, he was a man who was an elitist, and he believed that quality was what mattered. And if he didn't like something, it wouldn't get shipped.
Ken Auletta writes the Annals of Communications column for The New Yorker magazine. He's the author of Googled, The End of the World as We Know It. Thanks, Ken.
My pleasure.
And we want to again invite you to send us your remembrances, your tributes, or even your complaints about Steve Jobs if you want. Steve Jobs passed away yesterday at the age of 56. We remember him all day today. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.